Canto 15. A hard edge bears us on, and vapor makes a shield above out of the stream below, which, with its banks, is free from fire. It takes a dam to stem the sea. This Flemings know, between Wissant and Bruges, where they fear the floods rush, and the Paduans beside the Brenta, where the Carintana's near to full from melting snow. Both high and wide those bastions are built, these not so much, but still in the same fashion. We had got so far out of the wood that we'd lost touch with what it looked like. Had I turned, I'd not have seen it, when we met a troop of shades walking beside the bank. As when the sun has set, but light is still there, though it fades, and under the new moon men look at one another, so these looked at us with tight eyebrows, as might a tailor in old age search for his needle's eye. Held to the sight of this squad as I trod my narrow stage, I had my hem gripped. "Marvelous!" a man cried, and when he reached for me I fixed my eyes on his baked face, nor did those scarified features prevent that I should recognize the man I named. "Master Brunetto, you? You're here?" and he to me. "My son, don't be displeased if for a while I leave this crew to their march while I turn, and you keep me, your Brunetto Latini, close to hand." And I wish for that with all my heart, and I will sit with you should you demand, if he allows who's led me from the start. "My son," he said, "if any of this lot stops for an instant, for 100 years he lies unshielded from the fire, so not a thought of pausing, lest it end in tears. Go on, and I'll be clinging to your skirt. I'll catch up later with my squad, who go forever mourning their eternal hurt." I dared not from the bank step down as low as where he walked, but kept my head inclined, like one who walks with reverence. Then he said, "What chance decrees or destiny designs that you should be down here when not yet dead? And who is he that guides your steps?" "Up there, where life is bright," I said, "and my midway in years not yet reached, yet I knew despair, lost in a valley. Only yesterday at dawn I turned my back on it, but I would have returned had he failed to appear to lead me home by this road." He said, "By your star, if always by your star you steer, you can't fail to make glorious harbor. Had I sensed this rightly in your life so fair, and not too soon died, seeing heaven glad to help you would have made me take more care to aid your work. But that mean and malign people who from Fiesole of old came down and still retain a certain sign of rocks and mountains, walls of Florence hold the stones of that first hill, will make of you for your good works their enemy. No chance they won't do that. For never will it do if sweet figs, in the bitter circumstance of sorbs, should come to fruit. The world's fame long has called them blind, half mad with envious greed, and proud. So from this customary wrong, get yourself clean. Your fortune holds such seed of honor that both tribes will crave your flesh. But as the saying goes, the goat and grass will be apart. Let those hill beasts make fresh food from themselves. If when they bear their arse above the dunghill any plant spring, let them leave it lie, for it might hold again the holy seed of Romans, those who yet continued to grace Florence, even when it turned into a writhing viper's nest." "If all my prayers," I answered, "were fulfilled, you'd not yet have been banished from the rest of humankind. For in my mind, instilled immovably, and now it floods my heart, is the image, kind and fatherly, of you, when many times you taught me by what art a man becomes immortal, and what's due to you from me in gratitude, my tongue must, while I live, declare. What you tell me, I'll note down, as I did when I was young, and you spoke. And inside this scroll will be what Farinata said. So both texts can be brought to one who, should I reach her, will know what they mean. But this much of my plan I would make plain, to keep my conscience still. What fortune wishes, I am ready for. Your forecast is not one I haven't heard. Let fortune turn its wheel at will, and more. Let the hick hack with his mattock. This last word brought my guide's head back, turning to the right to look at me and say, "He listens well who takes notes." Nonetheless, I took delight in gossip with Brunetto, bade him tell which of his squadron had most fame and rank, and he to me. Of some it's well to know, of others we do best to leave a blank, for lack of time to say now as we go so much. But in a word, clerics they were, and great famed scholars, all of them defiled when living by the one same sin. The slur on that crowd touched the one you, as a child, learned Latin grammar from, famed Priscian, and Francesco da Corso, who taught law. And if you like scum, you might see the man sent to Vicenza by the Pope before Florence should see his sin-worn nerves collapse, Andrea de Mozzi, bishop in your youth. There's so much more to say, not now, perhaps. I can't go further speaking the sad truth. For see, a new cloud rises from the sand. People I mustn't meet will soon arrive. My book, called Treasure, is at your command. Read it. I ask no more. There. I'm alive. He turned then, and he ran like one of those who in Verona's field race for the prize of green cloth. Like the first, the last man knows, he too will be marked out before all eyes. But this one ran, as if the race were his to win, not lose, as his life was and is.